This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is May 24, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. We are also on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to us on your smart speakers, play Sportscast, visit us on the sportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1 and check out our app, the Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. Welcome to the baseball tournament week that is, where we're going to find out by the end of this week who's going to be all set for the baseball tournament and get one step closer to Omaha. We've already had a lot of games today, and I was taking a look at the baseball rankings from this week to last week, and I see Wake Forest is still number one with a record of 45-9. Florida's number two with a record of 42-13. They just had a big win over Alabama, 7-6 in 11 innings in the SEC tournament, so we're going to see how that goes later on. Stanford's number three with a record of 37-14. Arkansas is number four with a record of 39-15. They went from two to four. LSU is number five with a record of 42-13. Clemson's number six with a record of 39-17, up from number seven last week. Coastal Carolina is ranked number seven with a record of 37-17, up from eighth last week. Vanderbilt's number eight with a record of 37-17, up from 12th from last week. UConn's number nine with a record of 40-13. They stay at nine. Oregon State's number 10, once again, with a record of 39-16. Miami's number 11 with a record of 37-18. Virginia made a big jump. They jumped from 21st to number 12 with a record of 44-11. Tennessee jumped from 18 to 13 with a record of 38-18. Campbell State at number 14 with a record of 41-13. East Carolina State at number 15 with a record of 41-15. Southern Miss jumped from 23 to 16 with a record of 37-16. Dallas Baptist State at number 17 with a record of 42-13. Oklahoma State jumped from number 25 to number 18 this week with a record of 37-16. Auburn jumped from being unrated to number 19 with a record of 33-19-1. Texas also jumped from being unrated to number 20 with a record of 38-18. West Virginia last week was number six, and they dropped to number 21 with a record of 39-16. Boston College State at number 22 with a record of 34-17. Maryland's at number three, down from number 20 last week with a record of 37-19. Alabama jumped from being unrated to number 24 with a record of 38-17. And Kentucky dropped from number 19 to number 25 this week with a record of 36-17. So we're going to have a lot of baseball coming on in the next few days. And right now, SEC is getting ready to have Auburn and Vanderbilt in the elimination game. So all these tournaments are either single or double elimination, and it's going to be very good games. I'm looking forward to watching them, and knowing how the road to Omaha is going to be a little more set in stone, which is going to be very good. Jumping in, we have Bob Alves. How are we doing tonight, sir?
How are you?
Doing pretty well. I just went through the baseball rankings since we're going through the conference tournaments right now, so I know by next week we're going to have a lot more answers for the road to Omaha, so I wanted to make sure we did the last top 25 for it, because we also have golf to talk about tonight. We have men and women's lacrosse because remember you had written down our picks last week, so we can see how they did not go and who has the better score. I'm not keeping my hopes up on that one, sir. And one other thing, did you see that George Washington, they have announced a new name for the university? Yes, I just saw it today on ESPN. And
is this going to make me upset?
It's different.
Okay.
They decided
so that's to a be, yes.
Possibly. They decided their new moniker is going to be the Revolutionaries for George Washington. I mean, that's different, but
how does this sound, Alan? They're entitled to do what they want. Isn't that the most politically correct thing I can say?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
it doesn't mean we're going to agree with it, but
no, absolutely not.
At least we know what it is now. So that's something that's good. Real quick, when I was taking a look for golf, right now we have the women. They just finished the national championship, and the Wake women beat USC for their first NCAA golf title.
Yeah, you know, Wake Forest, you think of it, has more of a probably male golf school. Arnold Palmer went there. A lot of other PGA guys have gone there. They've been successful, but the ladies proven they can play too.
This is true. That in Rose Zhang, I believe, went back-to-back for Stanford.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
you know, back-to-back, no matter the sport, the competition, whatever, Alan, that's not easy.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I mean, that's why got to give props to her for doing that because there we go. It's hard enough to win. Yeah, she here's something that's even better, Bob, that's we never really realized about it. She's the first ever back-to-back NCAA champion.
Oh, wow.
For women's golf, it looks like. And Stanford women's golf, it says the greatest collegiate golfer ever. They just posted on Twitter. 12 wins in 20 tries. 8 wins this season. Back-to-back national championships.
How did you get on Twitter?
I did not. I went to the NCAA.com website, and they had it posted for their Twitter right there.
Well, that makes sense.
I have to hold on to my streak that we talked about, sir. And
it's kind of like the Undertaker streak if you're an old-school professional wrestling fan, but eventually the streak was over.
That's true. I am going to post at some point. Here's the other thing that I'm seeing on there that's pretty cool. She tied an NCAA season record for 8 wins in a year. She tied Lorena Ochoa when she went to Arizona in 2001 and 2002. And Renee Hyken, who went to Illinois in 1992-93. So, it's pretty impressive. Especially for women. So, we got to give a lot of credit for that. Because like it said right there, she's the first woman to ever win back-to-back. You gotta love it. And we have, for Division I track and field, we got the prelims going on starting today for the men, for the East and the West. You've got the East going on in Jacksonville, Florida, at the University of North Florida, from the 24th to 27th. And for the West, you have it at Sacramento, California, at Cal State University in Sacramento. So if you're big on track and field, this is something that you're going to enjoy. I'll admit I haven't really taken a look at a whole lot for track and field this year. How about you, Bob?
No, not so much, but, you know, nothing is more exciting than watching the 100 meters. Those fast races are outstanding to watch.
Okay, well, speaking of that, I actually, on NCAA.com, I was taking a look, and they actually talk about some notable matchups for the first round in the heats. Let me go through them real quick for us. You got for the East, a 200-meter heat three. You got LSU, Flavor of Philly against Georgia's Kalia Jackson. Or Kayla Jackson, sorry. You've got in heat five for that same 200-meter, Florida Talitha Diggs versus LSU's Thelma Davies. Then you've got the 800-meter in heat six, Kennesaw State's Sarah Hendrick against Michigan's Aurora Rinda. For the 1500 in heat one, you've got Caitlin Tui, I think is how you say her name, against Harvard's Maya Ramsden. And then in the 5000, you have Caitlin Tui again against Florida's Parker Valvey. Then you have East for the women's 4x1 relay heat two. You got Florida against LSU against Tennessee. That's definitely be a great race. For the men's 200 meters, you have LSU's DeMarcus Fleming versus Florida's Ja'Cory Patterson. In the 400 heat three, you have Florida's Javon Powell against Alabama's Khalid McRae. In 800 meters, you have Georgia's Will Sumner against Mississippi State's Navosky Anderson. And the last one for the East, you have the 110 hurdles heat four, Tennessee's Rasheem Brown against Michigan's Joshua Zeller. Looking at the West, for the women's 100 meters, you have Oregon's Jaden Mays against Texas' Yesenia Aba. The 200, you have Jaden Mays against Southern California's Samir Moody. In heat six, you have Texas' Lene Thomas against Texas Tech's Rosemary Chukwuma. You have in the 400-meter, Texas Candy Simon against Arkansas' Rosie Efong. In the women's 3,000 steeplechase, you have New Mexico's Illy Storner against Oregon State's Kaylee Mitchell. For the West, you have the 100-meter heat two. You have Texas Tech D'Andre Swift against Stanford Udodi Anzuriki. In another 100-meter heat four, you have Oregon's Micah Williams against Houston's Sean Maswakanai. Pardon me. And then you have the 110 hurdles heat one with Texas Tech's Antoine Andrews and Texas Tech's Caleb Dean. So those are just the first round match of some of them. That already sounds pretty good, sir.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of those names in track and field are difficult to pronounce because a lot of those, some of those names come from Kenya. And I can tell you, being a local Lynchburgian, when they have the Virginia 10 miler, and you know, it could be hard for the African nation to pronounce English names.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how it feels for us going the other way around. And I know there were some cross country runners at Liberty. I believe mm-hmm. it was Chilinga.
Sam Chilinga. He transferred from Fairleigh Dickinson to Liberty, and he was the national champion after Josh McDougall for Liberty in cross country.
Now, the good thing is, if you have a name like Chilinga and more Chilingas come through that they don't have to be related, but you know how to pronounce that name. But mm-hmm, then when you mm-hmm. see some other names, it can be a little bit more difficult.
Exactly. That's why if I butchered anyone's name, I apologize, but I did my best. And well, Bob, you were probably able to take a look at those names after the fact, so you'll probably
just tweet him. Tweet Alan West.
Alan F. West, yeah. You can
tweet Alan F. West. Yeah, I was going to have somebody else probably tweet it and have them get a lot of hate tweets.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But see, for me, I did my best. I tried to pronounce them the best I could. So, I mean, some of those names are hard to pronounce. So, if I messed up, I do apologize, but I was doing my best.
Alan, I'm going to give you a blue ribbon because if I pronounced them, it would have been a lot worse.
Well, I appreciate that, but no, that's why I was trying to make sure I could do my best for everybody, because I want to make sure everyone gets their due credits, even if I can't always say it.
You're the man.
So, Bob, now we have to get into the hard stuff, and by that I mean we have to take a look at how bad our picks were so far.
I would prefer not to talk about tennis.
You don't want to talk about tennis?
No.
I forgot about tennis.
No. You want to talk about tennis? Let's get that out of the way real quick. And I say that with all the love and respect for our tennis fans and tennis players out there.
Let's see. We did women, I believe, correct?
We did both.
That's right.
We shouldn't have, but we did both.
Yeah, because we did.
Do you want to go over the bracket and I'll tell who we only picked the, I will call it the Elite Eight for tennis. We only picked like the regional final or no. We picked the national semifinals. I'm sorry.
Correct.
For the men, I think we picked the regional finals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not fun either way for me, though.
I mean, I guessed either way, but I did my best. So I have no regrets for that.
Well, I'll let you drive, and I'll just hop in when it's going to be embarrassing to me.
I'm not as worried about if it's embarrassing for us. We're used to that, sir. Come on now.
Now, women's lacrosse, I'm all about that, but you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I understand. So
my results look a lot better. That's why I'm all about that in this case.
That's okay. So let's see. For the national semifinals for the men, it was Ohio State and TCU on one side and Texas and Virginia on the other. Now, who did you pick and who did I pick, sir?
All right, let me take a look at the bracket if you don't mind. So give me just
go right ahead.
It's going to be good for you if I go slow anyway, because you're going to be very right on this one. So give me just a second here. I had women's tennis pulled up, but let me get men.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you're okay.
Okay. So we picked Georgia and Ohio State.
Okay.
Ohio State won the match with Georgia 4-3. You had Ohio State, I had Georgia.
Yep.
South Carolina and Texas. I picked South Carolina, you picked Texas. Texas won 4-0.
Okay.
Virginia and Kentucky. We both picked Virginia. Virginia won, I believe, 4-2.
Yes.
And Michigan TCU, we both picked TCU. TCU won 4-1. Then we stopped. All
right. Correct, because we didn't want to try to jump too far. But if we had, odds are, for me, I would have picked Ohio State over TCU. And
I probably would have picked TCU just to be opposite of you. So you don't.
Of course. But that, and I think we both would have picked Virginia over Texas.
Absolutely. I picked Virginia to win the whole thing.
Yep, and they did.
Virginia going out. They did.
So you would have been right, and I would have looked at you and said, congratulations, sir.
Wahoo wah.
I mean, hey, when they win, they win, and you got to give them their due.
I'm going to have to find a tennis question for you guys tomorrow in the chat, and you'll miss it, and then look it up, and you'll be right.
Hey, I seem to be pretty good at that, so I'll give you that one. So I'm looking real quick for the men's singles. And it looks like you have Chris Rodersitz from Virginia and Alexander Bernard from Ohio State in one of the quarterfinals. You have Andrew Fenty from Michigan, and you have Ethan Quinn from Georgia in another. Then you have Elliot Spazzini from Texas. And
the number one seed, by the way.
Yep. And you have Andre Sauer from Michigan. And then you have Arthur Ferry from Stanford, the 3 seed. And it looks like Murphy Cashins from Arizona State. Those are the quarterfinals you have.
And they will take place on the 25th, which is tomorrow.
Yes, they play at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday is how the tennis is going to break down. Friday would be your essentially national semifinals, and Saturday will be your national championship.
Mm-hmm. Match. So for me, I'll call my shot here, okay?
Are we doing picks?
Let's do picks. So okay. I'm worst case, we can go all the way or we can go to just the championship match, but I'm pretty sure
go all the way.
All right. Well, for me, I think Bernard's going to win it all. I think he's going to beat Riddersh.
Well, let's start with the quarterfinals and work our way up for my computing purposes.
All right. So I think Bernard's going to beat Riddersh.
Okay. Let me see who I'm going to take in that one. Rodesh is the out of UVA.
Yes.
So that is a tough one for me to go against. Bernard is out of Ohio State. I'm going to go Rodesh.
That's fine.
Okay.
Even better for us. You have Fenty going against Quinn. And
okay, let's see. Fenty is out of
Michigan.
Oh, whew. Quinn's out of Georgia.
Correct.
Quinn is the number two overall seed, it appears.
Fenty has not lost a set yet.
I'm going Quinn.
I'm going to go Fenty. And I'm going to have a good old Ohio State-Michigan matchup for the semifinals.
You may have to say some prayers after this one for some forgiveness. Picking a Michigan guy.
Hey, you know what? There are worse things can happen. I already got my daughter's mother a Michigan shirt for Mother's Day. You know what? I've made my amends where I have to. We're good.
So you're going Bernard over Fenty, and I'm going to go Quinn over Rodesh. So we've got that whole bracket filled. So Quinn will be in the finals for me, Bernard for you.
Yep.
Now let's go to the other side.
You got to pick Pizzini for Texas. I mean, the number one overall seed.
One seed. He's going against Styler out of Michigan. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Because, I mean, even though Styler hasn't lost a set, I mean, it just, for Spazzini, he's just been blowing people out. He has not lost a set. He's not lost a set, looks like, at the whole tournament so far.
I'm going to call him Spizz because I don't know how to say his whole last name.
Okay.
Okay, so the bottom half of that bracket.
I'm going to pick Ferry for Stanford.
Out of Stanford and Cassone out of Ohio, or I'm sorry, out of Arizona State. How dare I?
Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
I'm going Ferry as well. I hate to not go against you, but I have to be logical at the same time.
We have to make picks that we can agree with, even if we don't want to agree with. So
now I'm going upset in the semi. I'm going Ferry.
I'm going to take Spazzini.
Okay.
I'll take the blue blood there. So it's going to be.
And you're going Bernard in the final.
Correct.
And I'm going to go Quinn.
And I shouldn't, but I'm going to pick Bernard to take it all the way. I'm going to pick him over Spazzini.
Okay. I'm taking Quinn over Ferry.
Okay.
Georgia rises again. Go Dogs.
All right. And then do you want to do the men's doubles while we're at it?
No, I think I'll be embarrassed on one thing, and that's it. I'll hold my embarrassment.
Okay, that's fine. We'll see what we'll do next week is we'll congratulate the winner for the men's doubles championship then. How about that?
It works for me.
So let's take a look at women's tennis now.
Okay.
So who do we have for our picks?
For men's?
Women's now.
Oh, I haven't brought the bracket up yet. Bear with me. We're talking about the team bracket first. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're doing team bracket first, then we'll do the others.
Okay. So
because we had made our picks.
Yes. Let's move on to something else. We don't need to talk about this.
No, it's okay.
So you picked the winner of Iowa State, NC State, which was going on as we were taping last week. Correct. NC State did win that one. And you had them picked. You took one of two teams to beat Stanford, while only got to take one. Stanford did lose, so you did win that one with NC State. NC State 4-0 over the Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina and Georgia, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Even though North Carolina was the favorite, they won over Georgia 4-0. And then we had the famous Tobacco Road showdown for the national championship with UNC and NC State.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina Tar Heels, 4-1. So Chapel Hill has another tennis title to go to them.
Good for them. Congratulations to them. Yes, it's not them. Easy. It's not easy to win a title. So for them to be able to do that, they deserve a lot of credit for that. All right. Now, do we want to try to do it for the women's bracket or do we want to just... Okay. So let's see. We have Amelia Rejecki for NC State. You have Carol Lee from Georgia Tech. You have Angelica Blake from Stanford. You have Wayne Seath from Oklahoma on the left side of the bracket. On the right side, you have Ayanna Akil from South Carolina, Maddie Sieg from Southern California, Famgren Tian from UCLA, and looks like Harry Miller from Michigan. Those are some mouthfuls right there, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got it's the old USC matchup in the top right. South Carolina, mm-hmm. who would tell you they're the real USC. Against mm-hmm. the other USC, Southern Cal.
All right, so I will pick for the top part. I'll pick the old USC, South Carolina. I'll pick Akil.
Me too. Me too.
And I'm going to pick UCLA. I'm going to pick Tian from UCLA.
Okay, I picked Miller.
Okay. Let's see on the other side.
And I'll go Miller to the final, by the way.
Okay. I'll pick Akil to the final.
Okay. All right, on the other side, we have Amelia Rejecki from NC State against mm-hmm. Carol Lee from Georgia Tech. Now, Rejecki did eliminate the overall number one seed, Fiona Crawley.
I do see that. Carolina
in the round mm-hmm. of 16, 6-1, 1-6, 6-3.
Yep. I'm still going to pick Lee.
I did too. And by the way, this is just for entertainment purposes, folks, of what Alan and I are doing. Do not go out and wager your house or your kids'
college. Yeah, please don't. Please don't.
Or any of that based on what we're saying. If you are going to wager, do so responsibly, but don't pick what we pick is probably the good idea that I would say.
Well, actually, don't pick what Bob picks. If you pick what I pick, you may get about 50% if you're lucky, but still. I still would not make those picks at all.
No, I wouldn't either. Blake is out of Stanford. Sleeth is out of Oklahoma. Sleeth had gone straight sets until the last round in which she had to claw and fight 2-7-6 is over Chloe Beck out of Duke. Blake has had, you know, a little bit of a struggle in the first matchup against Anastasia Komar out of LSU, mm-hmm. but Blake defeated Lee Ma in straight sets, 6-4, 7-6, to get to this point, and she will take on Sleeth. I gave you enough time there, I think.
I'm picking Sleeth.
Okay, I picked Blake.
All right, and I think that Lee's going to win in that one.
Yep, I agree.
I think overall, Akil.
Okay, I've got Lee.
So we will see. Bless you.
Sorry, it's very emotional for me when we make these picks.
I understand. Hopefully it'll work out better for you than it's had this other time. So hey, we're going to keep our fingers crossed.
We're going to get to my greatness in just a second, I hope.
Oh, I know. Let's do women's lacrosse first.
Let's do it. We didn't pick men's lacrosse, by the way. I don't know why.
Really? I thought we had. Or we were just waiting on it.
I think we were waiting on it. All right. So I will talk about women's lacrosse real quick since it's a joyous topic. We only picked the final eight, by the way, because I think we're into the national semifinals now.
Yeah.
Okay. So Northwestern against Loyola Maryland. Alan picked Northwestern. I picked Loyola Maryland. The Wildcats won 16-6, earning themselves a spot in the national semifinals on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Then things kind of went south for Alan. Let's talk about that real quick.
Go ahead.
Denver. I picked Denver to beat North Carolina, and Denver did just that, 5-4.
That was a great game, by the way. I don't know if you watched that game or not.
I did not get to see it. I'm just happy that my school won. Like it's my school. Like, I went to Denver. I don't think they would even claim me if I did.
Don't think they'd claim you regardless, but anyway,
we'll keep going. I would agree. I'm probably on the ban list of even going in the city. Then we had Syracuse and James Madison. Alan picked James Madison in this one. I picked Syracuse. The Cuse won 13-7,
yep,
earning a spot in the national semifinals. I don't know what we were thinking, but we both picked Notre Dame.
Yes, we did.
Notre Dame got skunked,
yep,
by Boston College 20-6.
Yep.
So we both lost on that one. I'm willing to pick the semifinals and all the way to the championship.
Let's go ahead and do it.
Okay.
All right. I'm picking Boston College.
Okay. I'm picking Syracuse.
And I'm picking Northwestern.
And I'm picking Denver.
And I think Northwestern may pull it off.
Okay. I'm picking Denver to pull it off.
Okay.
So you're picking Northwestern to win the whole thing.
I am.
Okay.
Because I think it's going to be Northwestern and Boston College in the final. And while this has been a year where Boston College has done really well, including winning the ACC tournament for lacrosse, Northwestern has just been dominant in most games that they've played. I mean, against Michigan, it was a one-goal game. But if you watched any of the Big Ten lacrosse tournament or even the game that they played against Loyola, they've been looking really strong.
Alan, how long have you been a sports fan?
Let's see. Probably since I was 6 years old.
Okay. I'm 43. I started when I was 3. So I'm about 40 years to the sports fandom. You and I both know that we can't compare scores. So you've just got to enjoy, and I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm saying if people are listening thinking, oh, this team beat this team and this team beat that team, so it's going to be a 40-goal game in the finals. Let's take a little break on that, people. You just got to enjoy it. You can't do score comparison because if so, we would have probably a 100-0 game at some point during the year in some sport.
Yeah, I've only had that in football a few times. But no, the thing is, when I'm watching the games,
yep,
you're watching, for every game you're watching in the tournament, you're seeing which team is not only getting a lead, but they're holding the lead and able to capitalize on the lead.
Right.
Sometimes they only capitalize by one goal. Sometimes they capitalize by 10 goals. It really just depends.
Right. And in no way was I trying to say that you do that score comparison stuff, but I was just making sure that the people out there don't do it.
That's okay. Yeah, no. I mean, it just for me, I'm only saying some of the comparisons. I've actually been watching the game, so I've been able to see how the different players. And actually, there was one player I wanted to I messaged you about during the week.
I thought you were going to say you messaged them. Probably better to message me.
Yeah, let's see. Let me go back to it. Izzy Skane. For Northwestern.
Yes.
She has scored 89 goals this year. 89 goals. in 1 year.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, that's...
This was your text to me, by the way. I will put it simply. Northwestern has one player who, if she doesn't score again today, has 88 goals for the year. Then 10 minutes later, you said, Izzy Skane. She scores another one, 89. So Alan and I, we both get whistled at for our good looks, but people don't talk about our brains enough. And I, for one, am sick of it. So I'm glad Alan is picking up the brains for both of us.
Well, I mean, I've tried to make sure that when I've been watching the different games, so that when we come on here, I can talk about something and actually be able to back it up a little bit. It kind of helps.
Unlike me, is what you're saying.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying
I'll
that
say it.
For what. The main thing is, though, we're able to watch different games and we talk about them and we keep up with them. So it was just because I was watching that game, and when it talked about how many goals she scored, I was like, okay, I need to make sure I tell you about that, because that's something I wanted to make sure we highlighted on the show, because that's the big accomplishment.
Right. Oh, I agree. 100%.
So, well, now we have picked our picks for that. And the championship game for the women is on the 28th at noon.
Right.
Which I believe is
two more things to pick, in my opinion, but finish out real quick.
Yeah. Cause I believe 28 is that.
That is
Saturday, I think.
The 28th?
Yeah.
Is Sunday.
Okay, my apologies. Sunday. Well, that's be a good game at noon to watch, so I'm looking forward to that.
Because the men will play their final on Monday, Memorial Day.
That's right. And let's jump into the men's, because...
Let's.
Last time we were waiting for Army against Penn State, Notre Dame against Johns Hopkins.
I don't know why we did
against
these.
Georgetown. We could have sworn we did. I could have sworn we did. Yeah, I don't think you wrote them down. I'm pretty sure we picked them though.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna write down the final four picks.
That's fine, because now we have Virginia against Notre Dame, and we have Duke against Penn State.
Okay, I'll let you go first. And both of these, by the way, are on Saturday.
Correct.
Duke
one is at noon, one is at 2:30.
Yep. So the site for the Final Four for the men's lacrosse is the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yep, let's see. I'm going to pick Virginia over Notre Dame.
Ditto.
And... I hate to say it, but I can't pick against Duke in this game because they're still the number one overall seed. And as much as I think Penn State's going to fight hard, I just can't see them overcoming how Duke is.
I'm picking Penn State.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Upset.
Okay. I'm going to pick an upset in the championship. I say Virginia's going to win it all.
All right. I'm very conflicted here. And I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
So one of my favorite college athletes of all time, Anthony Poindexter, who is from my high school, Jefferson Forest, went to Virginia. Was an outstanding safety. Probably would have been a first round pick had there not been an injury his senior year, which, by the way, he came back for his senior year, tore his ACL against NC State. Ended up being a seventh round pick by the Ravens, but did have a Super Bowl ring to show for it. Long story, Poindexter is now the defensive coordinator at Penn State under James Franklin, co-defensive coordinator, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great recruiter, but he didn't touch the lacrosse team that I know of. So I'm going to go Virginia.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be like a two goal affair.
I'd say that's fair. So, Bob, we waited to talk about this the whole show. The softball women's tournament.
Good. I'm glad. I thought you were gonna say Caleb Love's recruitment. He's down to three.
No, I'll pass on that. Good. We can talk about that another time.
I'd rather not.
That, and let's see, we got the NBA draft coming up, which we will discuss another time. But for the Super Regionals, I'm going to go through those first. And then I was able to look up how the we got to the Super Regionals. And, well, Bob, you still are living in Lynchburg, correct?
Yes. As of now. They haven't kicked me out of the city yet.
Well, that's good. Hopefully we keep that streak going.
There are rumors.
Well, I'm not going to touch on those rumors. We're going to leave them as rumors by somebody else. Now, Liberty went and played at UCLA.
Right.
And they were able to eliminate the number 2 seed UCLA Bruins in the second game.
Can we talk about this real quick?
Talk about what, sir?
You're a Liberty alum.
Yes, sir.
So Liberty eliminated the number 2 team in the nation from the NCAA tournament.
Yes, sir.
And I know we're going to talk about softball here and make some picks, and I want to. But is that the biggest win in the history of Liberty University?
I would say it's one of them. And here's the reason why I would say that. Because that was the first time a number 2 seed, I guess, had not been knocked out since either 2017. I think it was since 2017 or 2005. But when Liberty was jumping to D1A, while they were still making that transition, they won the national championship for softball. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I don't know that I did.
They did. So while that, I still consider that one of the biggest ones, but this one right here, here's one reason why it was so sweet that they won. Their head coach, Dot Richardson, is a UCLA legend. And she went into her old stomping grounds, and with her team that she's coaching, she was able to have them win 2-1 and eliminate them in game 4.
Yep.
And then Liberty beat Grand Canyon 5-1. So it was a rematch of the first game that was played, San Diego State against Liberty. And unfortunately, Liberty did fall to San Diego State 6-3. So San Diego State advanced to the Super Regionals. But that was probably going to be the one, that's probably the most memorable regional in Liberty history, I would say.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not every day. I mean, I know we can talk about, you know, college basketball where Purdue and Virginia were eliminated as number 1 seeds. And let's be honest. I mean, hosting a super regional, you're essentially a 1 seed for that bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia and Purdue have lost in the men's basketball tournament. Stanford's lost in the women's basketball tournament. But those tournaments have been going on since being seeded almost 40 years. And it's only happened twice. Right. In women's, it's only happened once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football obviously doesn't do a playoff like that. And with all due respect to other sports, I just don't think they get the main pub to be considered a biggest win in school history is normally not going to be in the pool, on the track, on the tennis court, whether fair or not, that's just the way it is. However, I think when you eliminate the number 2 team in the country, you know, I get Liberty's had big wins in football and basketball, and we could probably talk about this with other schools too, but we're talking about Liberty. You went there, I live here. So I think it's probably got to be up there for one of the biggest wins. And you even talked about it. I mean, Dot Richardson is a UCLA legend. Mm-hmm. She is a United States Olympic standout, if not legend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could possibly be, and these are just, you know, like little backgrounds that we are putting onto it, but I think it might be the biggest win in school history of any sport when you go out to the opposing team's field and you put them out of the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. If they make it to to the Women's College World Series, which I believe I want to say is in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? I mean, could they beat Oklahoma? Statistics say no, but we talked about statistics in other sports and look at how it turned out. So
now, the one thing I do want to say is this was a huge win.
Yeah.
Now, for football, I'm just going to jump to football for 1 second. Remember, this year we beat BYU in football, which that was a huge, that was a program-defining win right there. So I would say that as much as we don't always want to act like homers for certain sports, Liberty's had a heck of a year athletically. And so as much as you don't want to try to bring up certain sports, when they're winning and they're doing as well as they're doing, you can't help but bring it up.
Another argument for another time, but I don't even think BYU is the biggest win in the history of football.
It probably wasn't, but it definitely is top five, top 10, easily.
I would say in the history of the school or just in the football?
I'd say definitely football. Maybe top 10 for school history, maybe top 10. And here's the reason.
Football is top five, I think. And the school history is the top 10? Man, I don't know. It's close.
Well, here's the thing, though. When the Elder Falwell was alive,
right,
one of his main goals was for us to play BYU and Notre Dame. And so for us to be able to beat BYU at home, no less. At home. I mean, that was something that if Dr. Fall was alive, he would have been going nuts over.
I get it. I mean, I would argue that, you know, you beat Virginia Tech on the road a few years before. You beat Baylor on the road a few years before. Who knew Baylor was going to go 0-11 that year? But you beat Baylor on the road. You beat a Power 5 team on the road.
True.
BYU had lost a couple games at that point going into the Liberty game. So I think that unfortunately kind of takes a little bit of luster off of it. But, you know, I mean, again, that's probably another argument for another time. But, I mean, hey, let's get back to softball real quick. The win over UCLA is huge. And you got to give a lot of credit for getting to the regional or for getting really to the final two teams left in the Los Angeles region. And, you know, they're one game away. And we're talking about them. I mean, they would have had to beat San Diego State twice, but we're talking about them in the College World Series, not San Diego State.
True, true. And I mean, unfortunately, the first game, their pitcher gave up three or four runs within the first.
Right.
I think it was the second or third inning, and then she was pulled. And unfortunately, after that, they just couldn't recover. They did better in the elimination game where they were able to score three runs because the game had been tied 3-3. Then San Diego State was able to come back and score three more runs. Now, when you're watching the tournament, the regional that I thought was another really great regional was the Baton Rouge regional. I don't know if you watched that at all.
Yep. I agree 100%.
Because I was watching that Louisiana Lafayette against LSU and how they came back and they won two games against them and eliminated them when LSU had been ahead. Then it was either the sixth or the seventh inning, Louisiana tied the game and got the lead, and then they just never gave it up. And LSU, they looked very confident about that they were going to be able to advance, and they just couldn't score a run when they needed to.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, anytime you are hosting a regional, it's designed for, you know, nobody's being crooked, but I mean, you are in that right to host the regional. It's designed for you to get out of it. And LSU, you know, Louisiana had to fight back from the loser's bracket.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, I would say about UCLA. UCLA picked a really bad time to go 0-2.
They really did.
Because you look at it this way. They met Liberty in a elimination game. If you look at the statistics and the way it should have panned out, it should have probably been Liberty and Grand Canyon in an elimination game right away. Yep. So, but you know what, Alan? This is the beauty part of sports. This is why we play the games.
Absolutely. And that being said, Bob, when I'm taking a look at the teams that advanced to Super Regionals,
right,
there are only three teams that weren't ranked that advanced to Super Regionals.
Yep.
Oregon, San Diego State, and Louisiana Lafayette.
Yep, the Raging Cajuns.
Yep, so here's how we have for the Super Regionals now. I've got the schedule ready, so
I'm ready.
We can make our picks on these, okay? The first Super Regional we have is Norman. Number one, Oklahoma against number 16, Clemson. I'm picking Oklahoma.
My heart so bad wants to pick Clemson because I've got a friend on the Clemson softball team. I obviously know her dad and her mom. But as Stephen A. Smith would say, I have to digress.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, I mean, you know, they're number one for a reason, and they're a, you know, filthy number one if you look at the stats. I mean, their stats yep. are incredible. I'd be have to be committed if I took anybody other than the Sooners.
Yeah, their first game is Friday at 2 p.m. Then game two will be Saturday at 1 p.m. And if there's a game three, it'll be on Sunday. So we'll see what happens. But I think Oklahoma's going to win in two.
Now, that, Clemson is ranked 16th in the country, though. So it's not like Correct. Clemson is some, you know, some schmo school. However, the Tigers have not been playing their best softball if you just look at the
the stats.
Numbers lately. I mean, they fell 2 out of 3, and then they came to Liberty. Liberty beat them too, by the way, at LU. So, yeah, Clemson's unfortunately not playing their best at the best time. But, you know, they're here, and you got to give them a chat. You got to give them a shot.
I give them credit for making it, but they just, unfortunately, when they're having to play Oklahoma, they're basically running into a buzzsaw, which is that's the best way for me to put it politely.
It's going to be really, really hard to beat a team that is as good as Oklahoma. I mean, you know, they may be one of the better teams in the history of college softball. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Clemson from a partial standpoint pull the upset, like I said, knowing people on that team. But, man, it's going to be hard.
I agree.
It's going to be real hard.
Well, let's jump into the Durham Super Regional. We have Duke against Stanford. This one in some ways feels like a toss-up to me. Their game's going to be Friday at noon and Saturday at 3, and then game 3 if necessary on Sunday.
I'm going Duke. It's hard to make that trip from West Coast to East Coast.
I'm going to pick Stanford. I'm going to go for the upset.
If the shoe was on the other foot and it was at Stanford, I'd probably pick Stanford.
Well, I'm going to go with the different logic.
Right.
Because we just watched UCLA at UCLA and what happened there. I'm going to take that logic and use that for Stanford.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens with that. Next, we have the Tuscaloosa Super Regional. We have Alabama against Northwestern. I got to pick the Tide.
Roll Tide.
So, follow, their game starts at Friday at 8. The next game will be Saturday at 9. And then if there is another one, it'll be on Sunday. Going into the Knoxville Super Regional, we have number 4 Tennessee against number 13 Texas. Game 1 is Friday at 4. Game 2 is Saturday at 3. And then we'll see about game 3 if needed. I like Texas. I mean, actually, I'm sorry. I like Tennessee.
As do I. As do I.
I misspoke there. So.
An orange team is going to win that one. A team with some orange is going to come away with that.
That is true. That is very true. Next up, we have the Tallahassee Super Regional. And this one, this is going to be a tough one because it's number 3 Florida State against number 14 Georgia. Their first game is actually Thursday at 7. Game 2 will be Friday at 8. And then if they need another one, it'll be on Saturday. I know Florida State's the higher seed, but for some reason, I got to pick Georgia.
I am a very boring picker tonight because I'm going to go chalk Florida State.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Then we have the Stillwater Super Regional, number 6, Oklahoma State against Oregon. Game 1 Thursday at 9, game 2 Friday at 6, game 3 if necessary will be on Saturday. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State.
This might be my one and only upset. Go ahead.
I mean, I appreciate that Oregon was able to get out of the regionals. I'm just not sure if they can win the super regionals.
I'm going to go Oregon.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm looking at the Seattle Super Regionals. I mean, number 7, Washington against Louisiana. I am going to pick Louisiana here.
I'm going Washington.
Okay. Just because for Louisiana, I think they're going to be riding high after how they were able to beat LSU 2 games in a row. I think that's going to carry on into this regional. So we're going to see what happens. And that one is Friday at 10 for game 1, Saturday at 7. The final Super Regional is the Salt Lake Super Regional. We have number 15 Utah against San Diego State. Game 1 will be Friday at 10 on ESPNU. Game 2 is Saturday at 5. And if necessary, game 3 will be on Sunday. I got to pick Utah.
I'm going to San Diego State.
I mean, I appreciate what San Diego State did, beating Liberty twice, but I just can't pick them, unfortunately.
I can.
Well, that's why I'm letting you pick them, and I'm picking the other team. So
on softball, we differ on five series.
Yep.
The only ones we agree on are Oklahoma, Alabama, and Tennessee.
Correct.
And we don't agree on anything else tonight. Well, we agreed on men's lacrosse.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes for all that. And then, Bob, I had a question for you. I was taking a look at some other information. I found an article on ESPN that it talked about history being made. I don't know if you saw the article. Talks about a woman named Olivia Pichardo.
Okay.
She is a baseball player at Brown University. She just finished her first year at Brown. She only had one at bat because she was basically redshirting, and she's a freshman.
Okay.
So she is the first woman who's been able to be on a college baseball roster. Not only that, she's doing it at Brown.
Right.
Which, well, I don't know if you may not have even looked at the article or knew about it, but one of the things that highlighted for her in high school, she had a 5.2 GPA, and she wanted to make sure that she could challenge herself academically and athletically.
Well, she picked the right school.
Yeah, her coach did not really commit to playing, to doing a lot of playing time for her for next year or for this year. But even still, with her being on the team and still getting one at bat, and I'd say it'd be interesting just to see how her career goes there. And if you haven't read the article, I think you should read the article. It's very, I don't want to say eye-opening, but it's definitely very interesting to look at, just because of it talks about how everyone was telling her she should play softball, and yet she still was playing baseball, and just how she did. So, I mean, it's it reminds me of that movie that Ice Cube starred in about the female teenager.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me of that, except for the difference is this is D1 for baseball. So I think her name is Jasmine Plummer, if my memory serves.
The head coach at Brown, by the way, is Grant Achilles, who is a Lynchburg, from Lynchburg, Virginia.
Really? Okay.
Yep. His brother was actually, I want to say they both played at Heritage High School in Lynchburg. And His brother Todd, I think, was around the same age as I was, because he played. They both played at Wake Forest.
Okay.
So yeah, Grant Achilles. So, and you know, you gotta have a person that's gonna take the chances like that, and you know, put somebody on their team that you know a lot of people wouldn't pick, that wouldn't put on their team, and it's not a publicity stunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not at all.
One thing is, they're not gonna, Achilles is not gonna put somebody on that team that can't play. So, so good for them, and it's gonna be a good story to watch the next few years.
I would definitely recommend reading that article at some point, because I think you'd appreciate that. But well, Bob, I think we've about, I'll use a baseball term for you, sir. I think we've about cleared the bases for tonight. So if we were going to make the mistake of trying to find you on social media, how would we do so, sir?
The best way to go, unlike Alan, for me, it is Twitter. The Sports Buffet is the best place to go. I do some stuff on Instagram and YouTube as well. I'm also on Facebook, the Sports Buffet Podcast, but Twitter is the most reliable to try to track me down.
Very nice. Yep. For me, there is the Twitter, Alan F. West. I will post on there, and any hate mail from today, you can send to that Twitter. No problem. I'll look at it at some point. I'll tell Bob about it. We'll go over it on a different session when we're trying to figure out trivia as well. But also, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at alan.west.46. Next week, Bob, we'll be able to talk about the men and women tennis champions for singles and doubles. We'll be able to talk about lacrosse men and women champion. We'll be able to talk about who has made it past the Super Regionals. And it's about time for the men. We'll see who's in the tournament, and we'll watch the double elimination tournaments for them start as they make their way on the road to Omaha. And we can also talk about men and women track and field.
There's a lot to do.
So I'd say we're going to be pretty busy next week, but appreciate you coming on, and everyone who listened, so that we can see about what we're going to talk about next week and just find out other stories that are pretty interesting. So other than that, have a great week, everybody, and I look forward to seeing you all next week.